Well, I want to report to you on the youth mission trip to Upper Sand Mountain Parish. There were 27 youth and adults left last Sunday. They worked, they sang some, shared their music in two different churches. Worked in a variety of things, from sheetrocking to gardening, to sorting through things at the cannery. Upper Sand Mountain Parish has a great ministry program serving poor people in that community and beyond. And they had a great time. And they were, we had a complaint jar. And if, let's see, a complaint was a quarter, sarcasm was 50 cents, and whining was a dollar. And if you got caught, you had to put it in. More adults put money in than the kids. And there was barely enough money to wash the vans and when we got back from the complaint jar. So it was a great time. And that was 27 people on two showers and one toilet. No complaints. They were great. They were wonderful in their service. Well, here a reading from Genesis. We continue to read that great story. And most of this summer we'll be listening to these wonderful stories from the book of Genesis. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you will die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals, and among all wild creatures upon your belly shall you go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly increase your pangs in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your husband shall be For your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." The man named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for the man and for his wife and clothed them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, help us to hear the story is our story. Give us the courage, the truth, the integrity to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever played hide-and-go-seek with a three-year-old? They're not very good at it. You say, okay, go hide, and I won't look, and you cover your eyes, and you count to 10 or 20, and here I come, ready or not, and you put down your hands, and you open your eyes, and you see these little legs sticking out of the coffee table right there. Or you see this kid-shaped lump in the draperies over there. They're just not all that good at hiding. And I even remember once playing with one, and I opened my eyes to come and find, and they were standing in the middle of the room. They covered their eyes, and they assumed they were hidden because they couldn't see themselves, and how could anybody else? You go ahead and you play the game. And you say, where are you hiding? Where could he be? And you look all around everywhere but under the coffee table and in the drapes. And for a while, where are you? Where are you? Of course, that's the question that God asks in this story. God asked Adam, where are you? When he was hiding. Well, God knew where he was. He could see the trail of apple cores leading into the thicket, and he could see the four ankles and feet there under the leaves. He knew where they were. The question is really not about geography. It's not a question of, are you hiding behind the azaleas or are you hiding behind the hydrangeas? That's not the question. It's a more profound question. Where are you? Where are you in regards to your relationship to your Creator? Where are you now? Or, I know you're not supposed to end a sentence with a preposition. My apologies to you English teachers, but we sort of say, where are you at? And where are you in this matter? Sometimes we think the Bible is a story about people a long time ago. This is a story about Adam and Eve. Well, yeah. But it's a story about us. It is always contemporary. It is our story. It's about us. And really the main question as we walk through our life is, where are you? Where are we? I remember going on youth retreats, and we had a game. It was sort of a teaching game that they would use, and it was sort of, where do you stand? And they would line us all up in a room, and you'd have this big room, and the leader would make a statement. And then if you agreed with it completely, you'd go to this side of the room, and if you disagreed, you'd go that side, and if you weren't sure, you'd go to the middle, and if you're a little more agreement, slightly to one side or the other. And so they'd read it, you should always tell the truth. And so everybody would rush to the agree side, and then they'd, what about this? And, you begin to see, where are you in relationship to this issue? Where are you on the spectrum? Where are you? This little story, I wouldn't get tired of preaching on it every Sunday. You probably would shortly. It is so profound, and it is so rich, and it is so true. It asks us the question first, where are we in terms of our understanding of God's goodness? Adam and Eve have been given this glorious garden. It is filled with God's handiwork. There is everything they need for life. There is a prohibition, but somehow they begin to think that the prohibition about this tree is that God's just selfish. It has not occurred to them that God is warning them. God is warning them, don't eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It will poison you. Don't go there. I'm telling you, for your own good, but they don't see it's for their own good. And so here's a question for us. Where are we individually in terms of God's goodness? Do you experience God primarily as loving, kind, and generous? Or do you experience God as sort of a heavenly sheriff? Is God for you? Or is God against you? Where are you on that question? Do you experience God as overflowing love? Or do you experience God as a threatening, angry bully? Where are you? When something awful happens in the world, do you say, how could God let something like this happen? But you forget on the morning when you wake up and there's more than enough food in your refrigerator and your cabinets and you got a house and clothes to wear, it never occurs to you to say, how could God let something like this happen? Where are you on the God is good spectrum? You know, this story, did you hear the last verse? Adam and Eve have messed up, and their consequences, the world begins to fall apart, and life is not as it was because they've messed up. But do you notice what God does before He sends them out? He said, well, you've insisted you want to run away from home. At least let me make you some clothes. Did you notice? And so, God's last word is grace. His first word was grace, and His last word is grace. You're going to leave, but here, I want you to be well clad, so God makes clothes for them. So where are you? Where are you on that God is good spectrum? There's another place to ask, where are you? The story suggests. Where are you in terms of accepting responsibility for your actions and blaming others? Wow. Both Adam and Eve refused to accept responsibility. Eve's first act of irresponsibility is she asked a snake his opinion. She seems interested in it. The story begins with Adam and Eve as the ones in charge of the garden. They are the creatures with the reasoning capacity, the mind. They're the grown-ups here. And yet she begins to have a serious conversation with a snake. Eve refuses to be who she was created to be. With Adam, the one who's in charge of this place. And of course, Adam's irresponsibility happens when he is found out. And he says, it's not my fault. When God says, where are you? Adam says, "Or why did you do that?" Adam says, this woman who you gave me, made me do it. You know, it's either her or it's you. It's not me. Where are you? Is your characteristic response to what happens to you, is it to blame others? Or is it to fess up when you mess up? Where is that? Where are you on that? Another place that God asks, where are you, is in terms of the control issue. Where are you in terms of your need to be in charge and in control? Remember what fruit it was they ate. It was the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The sin of Adam and Eve was that they didn't want to be beneficiaries of God's good gifts, but they wanted to be in charge of the goodness. But they wanted to know what God knows. They wanted to know what God knows. God is the one, though, who said this is good. Adam and Eve want to be in charge. They wanted the power that comes with knowing. Notice Adam's response when he's found out. I heard I was naked. I hid. I was afraid. It's all about Him. You know, sin is just a generic word that describes all those ways that we have, clever, subtle as we are, at putting ourselves in the center of the universe and putting ourselves in control. Exerting control. That's what sin is. Putting ourselves at the center of the universe and exerting control. It appears in many forms. Theft, I mean, what someone has, I want. Adultery, another person's spouse, I want. Lying, my truth rather than the bigger truth. All sin is simply about control and about myself being the center of the world. So where are you with that? And then there's one final thing. Notice that Adam and Eve seem to get in trouble when they talk about God rather than to God. Did you notice the difference? Eve and the snake have a great conversation about God. But they didn't talk to God. What does it mean that God is just a distant object, something we talk about, but not someone with whom we cultivate the relationship by talking with? So where are you? Where are you? That's the question. Where are you? Where are you on this stuff? Over 50 years ago, a man set out to write a book. His name was Abraham Heschel, a Jewish scholar. He said he was going to write a book that sort of summarized the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures. And he already had his title. He was going to call his book Man in Search of God. Man in Search of God. Humanity searching for God. And he started writing it, and he started studying the Scriptures more, and he realized he had the wrong title. The story is not man in search of God. It's the other way around. The whole Bible is the story of God in search of humanity. God looking for us. God out looking for us. Jesus says, what's God like? Well, he tells a story about the two sons. One takes the father's money, he runs off, he wastes it. But when he comes home, the father comes out running to him. The father runs to him. It's a story of God seeking us out. And that, of course, is what Jesus did. Jesus, God in flesh, went about doing good. Went about engaging people, went to them where they were, didn't wait for them to come to Him. He went and found them. He called disciples. They didn't say, we want to join with you. He called them. It's the story of God looking for us, asking us, where are you? Because He wants you to be close. He wants you to know He is as close as your breath, if you will let Him be. We have a symbol of that we share in every so often. It's the Holy Communion. We take the bread and the cup, which Jesus said will remind you of Him, the way He shared it. And we want to get so close to that, we literally take it into us. Can't get any closer than that. And so let us prepare ourselves to receive the God who comes close. Amen.
Turn to page 12, please, in your hymnals. Join me in the ritual for communion. Hear now the invitation to the table of the Lord. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Join me in the next page in the Great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our praise and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast in his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Every person here is welcome to receive the bread and the cup. Our custom is to come forward as directed by the ushers. If you're able, you may kneel at the chancel rail and receive the bread and cup. If you are not able to kneel comfortably, you should feel comfortable in standing and receive these. As was said earlier, any gift you leave at the chancel will be used for the Nothing But Nets offering for malaria, nets to prevent malaria around the world. I invite those who are to serve, if you would come first. People of God, sons and daughters of our Heavenly Creator, go in His love, in the name of the God who is love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Alleluia. Amen.